Hello and welcome to Lexitecture, a podcast about word origins and histories. My name is Ryan, and in each episode, my friend Amy and I bring a new pair of words to share their stories with each other and you. You can find our past episodes and the occasional blog post on our website at lexitecture.com. Follow along with us on Twitter and Facebook at Lexitecture. And if you really like what we do, you can support the show at patreon.com/lexitecture. Today's episode, Juggler Pants.
Right. Words.
Words.
How about you take it away? Or do you want me to go first?
It's fine. I just realized that I haven't actually clicked on the page that I need to click on. Give me just a second. Okay. So, the inspiration for this particular word... Mm-hmm. came from a conversation that we had on Messenger, as we tend to do, where I said, I'm going to get my wording pants on and do some research. And I thought to myself, pants, there's a word that I have never, ever thought about in terms of its etymology.
Yeah.
And I think it's a word that there's a kind of an obvious route to go down, but... I had a wee look and I found it quite interesting.
Cool.
So going to the OED and typing into their quick search, pants, I have 7 different results, which was surprising to me. You know, it feels like there's only one meaning for this. But of course that's not true. The earliest meaning of the word pants is as in the verb to pant, to breathe hard with quick, short breaths, as from exertion, heat, or agitation.
Okay.
Something that I find is happening to me much more and more since I started eating all the sugar and having minor nervous breakdowns. Yeah. Maybe I should get on the cross trainer and do some... Well, alas, poor cross trainer, he is no more. That sense of the word, by far the oldest, the OED dates it from around about 1350. And we also have from around about 1513... each of a series of short, quick, laboured breaths brought on by exertion. So the verb becomes the noun.
Right.
And then there are some other interesting ones. So in sense number 2, Scottish and English regional, north, eastern and historical, pant is, in this sense, a public fountain, cistern or well.
Oh.
Yeah. Especially a stone or iron construction with a spout, from which water is drawn. So we have the very lovely, I'm not ever going to be a mature, sensible adult, am I? From 1586 in J. Barnby, Memorials, St. Giles's, Durham, paid for the poor men's dyke that dwell at the pant. I feel like I should point out that I really wanted to say the poor men's dick, but I know that that's not how it's pronounced. Even though my oldie Englishy isn't great pronunciation-wise, I was aware that it was the wall nearby the fountain. But yeah, I did have a bit of a giggle at the poor men's dyke that dwell at the pant.
Mm-hmm.
And then similar sort of time, 1585, every street hath his cistern or pant. So this was a sense that was totally unfamiliar to me.
Yeah.
We then eventually get our way to 1835, trousers, pantaloons, and 1832, a trouser leg. This is an obsolete one. Now, I feel like I should point out at this juncture, see what I did there, that I do love the fact that the word pants is invariably plural.
Yeah.
Because words that are invariably plural, it makes me ridiculously happy to make them singular. So I love to require a scissor and any opportunity to use the word pant singular, as in, oh, I love a striped pant. I'll take that opportunity because it amuses me. We then have from 1901, a lark, a bit of fun, a prank or a caper.
Oh.
And from 1936, To pull down or remove the trousers and sometimes underpants of a person, especially as a practical joke.
Right.
To give someone a pantsing, I believe you would say. To pants them. But it was the garment that I was originally interested in. This was the meaning that I wanted to kind of investigate. And of course, pants takes us to pantaloon. And as well as being a wonderfully fun word to say,
absolutely,
pantaloon,
yeah,
it also it's etymologically interesting. So here's what Etymonline has to say. Trousers or drawers, they're dating this from about 1840. See, pantaloons. The word was limited to vulgar and commercial use at first. Colloquial singular pant is attested from 1893. And then Etymonline also mentions a few interesting pants-related phrases. So to wear the pants, to be the dominant member of a household, from about 1931. To do something by the seat of your pants is from 1942, originally of pilots. And to be caught with one's pants down is from 1932. Hmm. So, surprisingly variable the pants are. And pantaloons took me to the 1660s. Pantaloon is a garment. Etymonline describes it as a kind of tights-like garment for men, consisting of breeches and stockings in one. It was originally a French fashion, late 17th century, but it was associated with pantaloon, pantalon, or pantalone from the 1580s. And he is a classic Italian drama figure, pantaloon, capital P.
Hmm.
And he's described as a skinny, foolish old man. Now, Webster's actually has an interesting article about the etymology of the word pants. And they describe pantalone or pantaloon as he's a sort of a lecherous old man who often learns his lesson. You know, something bad happens to him as a punishment for his sort of lecherous behaviour. So he's seen as a figure of fun, a figure who is made fun of. But interestingly, from pantaloon, the sort of ridiculous figure, we can go back to the Commedia dell'arte character actually taking his name from a saint. I found this particularly interesting. Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
Not what I was expecting.
Before you get to the saint, just so I don't forget this question, you had mentioned one of the senses of pant or pants was as a like a practical joke or a a bit of fun or a lark.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if there's a connection between that and this comedic figure?
Oh, now that did not occur to me at all. There hasn't been anything that I've read about pantaloon that involves the pulling down of pants. Although I feel like Commedia dell'arte perhaps missed a trick with that, because what's more hilarious than a bum popping out when it wasn't expected?
Oh, nothing. Obviously.
I don't know. The pantaloon, the trousers took the name from the character because the character was portrayed as wearing trousers. Tight leggings. Comically tight leggings at
right.
that.
Yeah, okay.
So, it's a straightforward, the guy who wears this garment is called this thing, so the garment is called this thing too.
Right.
I don't think there's any sense of being pantsed by pantaloon. But yeah, they really have missed a trick if that's the case.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So, No, that's quite all right. It was a good point to make. So, pantaloon, pantalone, pantaleone, San Pantaleone. In Italy, Saint Pantaleon, or the name goes through various different versions. Pantaleon, P-A-N-T-A-L-E-O-N, but also Pantaleon, which, if you are a reader of his Dark Materials, which you should be, Ryan, because you're going to love it when you finally read it. Pantaleon is the name of Lyra Belacqua's demon. Lyra's the main character.
Oh, okay.
Demons are cool. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Pantaleon is generally translated as being all compassionate. And that pan prefix.
Right.
Sometimes Pantaleon was kind of almost like reverse engineered etymologically, The All Lion. So the sort of all noble, powerful sort of figure. There is evidence to suggest, Wikipedia says, that a martyr named Pantaleon existed, but some consider the stories of his life and death to be purely legendary. So one of these figures within the church that it's tricky to see whether or not he ever actually existed, but certainly is a good story. So in Italy, he gives favourable lottery numbers, victories, and winners in dreams.
Hmm.
And a file containing some of his blood was long preserved at Ravello. Certainly a file containing somebody's blood. I do like the whole relics thing.
Yeah.
I remember reading somewhere that, you know, if you were to count up all the splinters of the cross that exist in various village churches across the world, you could probably build a house.
Yeah, that's right.
But I quite like that. So Pantaleon, this Leonine saint, gives his name to Pantaloon, the ridiculous character wearing the tight leggings.
Right.
And Pantaloons is then shortened, of course, to pants. But we've got another thing to consider about the word pants.
Okay.
Which is that word, I do not think it means what you think it means.
Hmm.
To quote the great, as far as I'm concerned, this is a fundamental principle of language and etymology. Good old.
Yeah.
if you can't get a reference to the Princess Bride in every single time you talk about anything, then what are you even bothering for, quite frankly?
Yeah, it's the goal. So, yeah. Always the goal.
Inigo Montoya is quite correct, because when you say pants and I say pants, we mean very different things.
Yeah, we sure do.
And as to why that's the case, well, I would love to be able to give you a quick, clear, short answer.
Hmm.
I mean, let's face it, quick, clear, short answers are not what I'm known for in any sphere. But it does seem to be a slightly complicated situation to say why it is that on your side of the Atlantic, pants are trousers.
Yeah.
And on my side of the Atlantic, pants are underwear. And in fact, there's one of these interesting situations going on. I had the wonderful experience of drawing out my favourite etymological screw you to my mother this week, last week, whenever it was.
Okay.
Time is meaningless.
Yeah.
When, how did this come up? Oh, I bought a graphics tablet. It's very useful for working from home. And my mum had never heard of such a thing. And I explained what it was. And she said, oh, okay. I don't understand why this would be useful for teaching. So I said to her, oh, do you know Khan Academy? And she'd never heard of Khan Academy, so I directed her to the website.
Right.
But it wanted her to join, so I sent her to the TED Talk by Sal Khan, where he talks about how Khan Academy came about. And she then messaged me to say, oh, I hate it when people say math. And of course, Americans have been saying math for longer than Brits have been saying maths.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's one of my favourites because people get so uppity and snippy about this sort of thing. And of course, you know, the idea that there are rules about words becomes more and more ridiculous to me the more I learn about etymology.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
These days I'm like, yeah, spell things how you like.
Whatever.
Do what you want with punctuation. Yeah, capital letters optional. Maybe this is just due to the exposure of the writing of teenagers. That could be a factor.
I'm
not going to get into that. But it's very interesting because all of the definitions of pants and pantaloons say that what these things are is trousers.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it came to be the case that one side say pants and one side says trousers. I found quite an interesting article from a website called lostinthepond.com, which I think there's probably more for me to see here. I just found it through Google. And the article is called Why Brits Should Stop Giving American a Hard Time About Saying Pants. And it refers to an engram. Engrams sound like spells should be involved.
Yeah, sure do.
That's just what I always think. It refers to an engram that shows that actually the word pants was in greater use in Britain than trousers was. And then we had this kind of strange crossover where trousers caught on. So the Victorians liked trousers, and
right.
This is the instances of this word peaked around the time of World War II. But funnily enough, an American English engram also showed trousers peaking at this time. So the clearest thing I can say is that the notion that you say potato and I say potato, you say pants and I say pants, and we mean different things, isn't mm-hmm. really true at all. Because in my country, there are people who talk about pants when they mean trousers. And in yours and in the rest of North America, there are people who talk about trousers when they mean pants. I feel like this is just an advertising campaign that has gone wrong somewhere along the line.
Interesting.
Yeah. Finally, my last note on the word pants is that around about 1994, the OED cites it for the first time. In British slang, this to me, it's so evocative of the 90s. People started to use pants as an adjective meaning nonsense, something terrible.
Oh, cool.
So it's all a pile of pants. The pilot is complete pants. Is, you know, something that I recall this falling into usage because, you know, I'm old these days.
Yeah.
So, it's quite a nice one. Certainly not quite a swear word, but a kind of bowdlerized way of expressing your feelings of displeasure. Slightly stronger than just saying that it's, bad. Yeah. But yeah, quite comedic as well. Interestingly, though, in 1886, a very, very long time before the British media were talking about things being pants, in the US, someone's name is pants was a phrase that is now sort of translated as someone's name is mud.
Oh, okay.
So this notion of pants being a bad thing is much, much older than this 90s trend that I recall. So, if your name is Pants or if your name is Trousers, who knows what any of us means? But there's a saint in there somewhere.
That's really interesting. That's very cool. The things that you... I mean, I guess... technically... I don't know. If it's named after a character, is it still eponymous? Or does it have to be a person?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. I never would have guessed that it was... That's where this comes from. That's very cool. I like it. And it's also really interesting because I was thinking, like, as you were going along, and one of the first things that came to mind when you said it was, finally, I'm going to figure out who's right about, like, you know.
Yeah, it's not that kind of jam,
but it just
I'm afraid.
Isn't. That's interesting. And it's also interesting that it was, like, the British variant seems quite clearly to be the variant as opposed to it being an American, North American adaptation or almost neologism to use it to refer to trousers instead of underwear.
No, I mean, it always seems to be that the earliest definitions talk about a garment that starts above the waist and covers the legs.
But I wonder if it's something to do with the fact that it sounds like they're, at least the original sort of garment was more reminiscent of, you know, tights, like nylons and tights rather than necessarily strictly an outer garment. Like,
I'm laughing at the fact that nylons, nobody says that here.
Oh, okay, well.
And generally speaking, I don't know. God, it's an interesting world, the world of bifurcated garments. But here,
yeah,
when people say tights, they are usually referring, certainly in my experience, they're usually referring to what I believe in North America are referred to as hose. Is that a word? Am I on the right track with that? So maybe nylons
What that is, yeah.
A way to go. So basically an undergarment where it's like knitted leg coverings that also cover your feet.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like that was a terribly clunky description. There was probably
I think that's fair. But and that's sort of what I was getting at, like the idea that it's not in appearance, and especially in colder climes than Italy, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be a given that tight fitting, probably fairly thin leg coverings would be the only thing you would have on.
Also, tights, again, this is a US English, British English thing. Quite often what are referred to as tights in North America, I would actually call leggings here.
Right.
I don't know if that's a difference that you...
I think leggings it's are different, but I don't know why or how.
I'm not really sure what the differences are. So, like, yoga leggings, yoga tights. That's...
Oh, okay.
Another sort of distinction. As I say, the world of bifurcated garments is an interesting one. It's just caught my eye. I'm just laughing to myself here. You know the way that OED gives you the entry and context? So it lets you see which words come before and after the entry that you're looking at. And at the top of that list is a word, pantothermal. And I'm just laughing because currently in Scottish winter, I would absolutely go for a pair of pantothermals.
Pantothermals. Yeah, I'm aware of the existence of these various other garments. I am not a good sartorial interlocutor because, like, if I'm not wearing jeans, something has either gone very wrong or very right, and it's
I haven't worn jeans for. It's funny, like. Since probably about age 10, having pairs of jeans was like having pairs of underwear. You know, like jeans were an essential part of any wardrobe ever.
Yeah.
And that was the case right up until, in all honesty, probably up until I started to really get into yoga and realised that I could wear leggings a lot more than I had been wearing leggings up until that point.
Right.
And I don't know, like, I'm going to take a guess in your sartorial ignorance. You probably haven't done a whole lot of leggings wearing.
I have not.
They are the most remarkably comfortable garment I have ever experienced.
Huh.
If you get a comfortable pair of leggings, there is nothing more comfortable in the world. And yeah, it's one of these, you know, people, the world of fashion insists that only some body shapes should wear leggings. And I'm like, no, anyone can wear leggings because they're so comfortable, they will ruin you for all the other clothes. And that's basically what's happened to me. So I haven't worn jeans probably since then because leggings are just better.
I do
these
love
days
comfort.
When I put on real trousers, I just feel like everything is wrong.
Yeah. None of this is right. It doesn't make any sense. Interesting. Well, I could see a couple connections between your word and my word, not least being that it yet again presents a dilemma as far as which order to put the two words to come up with the title of this episode.
Interesting.
Because I can't tell if it would be better to have juggler pants or to be a pants juggler.
Oh man, that is a poser. It really is.
I just don't know which way I'm going to go with it. I don't know what to do, but anyway, let's just dive
into juggler pants. Pants juggler sounds like something that would appear in The Viz.
Just it's all they're both just too good. You know, like I don't know. Anyway.
Like it feels a bit like yeah, I'm just going to have a lazy day today. I'm going to put my juggler pants on.
Yeah.
Watch some TV.
Like, juggler pants would be comfortable. They'd be utilitarian. They would be awesome looking.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be socially acceptable, let's face it.
They probably wouldn't be. But also, you know, like, surely next to, like, chainsaws and flaming torches, being a pants juggler is, like, one of the most technically difficult kinds of juggler. Because that would be hard.
Yeah, you have taken an entirely different slant on... And a much more innocent slant on pants juggler than I have.
All right. Okay.
I'm thinking about hands in deep pockets.
Yeah, that's good. It's the other, the more circus oriented version of pocket pool or pocket billiards. Gotcha.
I have never heard the phrase pocket pool. I feel it's not a word that generally exists in my vocabulary, but I feel like ooh might be appropriate there.
Right? Yeah. Anyway, that's a for later problem. I'm literally going to record the intro both ways and just decide at the absolute last possible minute. I'll just flip a coin or something. Anyway.
Yeah.
So my word is juggler. Surprise. Now, this, it's interesting because there was a couple of interesting things about this to me. But the first one was that I did not initially look up the word juggler because what kind of madness would it be to just look up juggler? Because clearly a juggler is one who juggles. And so juggle would be the older word and the one where I have to look into.
This that would seem reasonable.
This is not the case.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. A juggler is not someone who juggles. Juggling and to juggle is a thing done by a juggler.
No way.
Starters. Yeah.
That's excellent.
Isn't that cool? Also, in the course of already, like I'm only like a couple minutes into this segment, and already the word juggle has done that thing that words do,
yes!
certain words do, where it lost all meaning entirely. And
I was just going to say to you, semantic saturation.
Yeah.
I believe
is that what
call
it's
it.
Called? Yeah.
I might have made that up.
It works though, so just run with it.
Yeah. I was really conscious of that. And you know, given the nature of the way that we discuss a single word, I think that it's odd that that doesn't happen more often, but that it has happened so very quickly. Juggle, 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 yeah. Juggle, juggle, juggle. Yeah, my brain is fried with that already.
I wonder if there must have been a linguistic study done somewhere to determine like properties of words, or at least a class of words that are more prone to that than others.
I certainly hope so.
Anyway, that's a free one for any linguists out there looking for a new thing to just dive into because your job is awesome and you get to do stuff like that for it. That feels like the kind of thing that the because language folks would...
Yeah, it does.
...would dive into face first. Okay, so juggle. Juggler. Juggler goes back to about 1100. While juggle wasn't a thing until the latter half of the 1300s. So it's a couple hundred years between them in terms of OED citations. And originally, the juggler had a couple different senses simultaneously. So a juggler was either a jester, joker, buffoon type person,
mm-hmm.
or a wizard slash sorcerer slash conjurer.
Oh, because those are definitely the same things.
Yeah, I mean, quite apart from my ineptitude at juggling, makes it seem like anyone who can juggle is in fact a wizard. But beyond that, it just, yeah. The connection here seems to be one of dexterity. So
okay.
Whether it's a presumption that a wizard, a quote, sorcerer, is actually just performing like sleight of hand tricks, or whether magic requires nimbleness of fingers, I'm not sure, but that seems to be the idea.
I think it is a reasonable point for you to make that to people who can't do it, juggling does seem a little bit magical. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's not. I can juggle tolerably well. Didn't have many friends as a kid. I learned how to juggle when I was about, I don't know, maybe about 12. And it's quite a kind of a workaday practice it, you'll get better. There's no secret. There's no magic to it whatsoever. But people are still impressed by the fact that you can juggle, even though it's like I often say to people, like, spend 2 weeks pretty bored with nothing else to do, and by the end of those 2 weeks you'll be a pretty competent juggler. That's all you need.
Yeah. It's sort of the ultimate example of that phenomenon where everyone just assumes that extremely talented people were just born with it, and it's like, oh, how do you ever get good at this? And you're going, just practice. Like, I was not born with the innate talent to, no, just practice. Yeah. But how could you
there's
ever
great,
possibly
there's
because
a great
you
cartoon
just practice
about this. And I'm sure the cartoon is about oh, you're such a brilliant artist. How did you get so good? And yeah, exactly
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time drawing. Such a
yeah,
genius.
Exactly.
Nope. Lots of time. Apply
just throw
the
stuff
type.
Up in the air and catch it. As long as there's more of them than there are your hands, you're juggling. Go. Yeah, so wizard, a wizard slash juggler, which is pretty awesome. And I feel like it's a pretty badass promotion for jugglers, like all due respect to jugglers. But anyway,
we're
so
not
the word itself
to be the more serious members of society, especially people who do it professionally.
Not generally. Yeah. It'd be hard to be a juggler that takes yourself too seriously. Like, I think that's a weird thing.
You know that there are people out there who...
Someone is pissed off at me right now.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's
and
hilarious.
And I'm having great fun imagining who that person is.
Yeah. It's hilarious. So, etymology. Let's do some of that. It's the word comes from an old French word, jugler, and from Latin before that, and this is a red flag Latin pronunciation alert. People can argue and face off in an empty parking lot to argue whether you pronounce the J's as J's or Y's, but it's either joculator or joculator. And that is the person who does the verb joculari, which means to jest or to joke. And this is, of course, where we get the word jocular from.
Sure.
And also the word joke. But it's interesting. Like, this is one of those things. I know I've seen it once or twice before, but I can't remember when. But it's an example of one of those times where there's a much older word than would normally have been influenced directly by Latin. It shows up in English, in Old English. And then a few centuries later, it kind of meets its own ancestor that has been adopted into English as a Latin word.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
So joke is very old and juggler is very, very old, but they both come from basically the Latin word jocular, which then shows up on its own in English in like the 1600s. A couple hundred years afterwards, it shows back up and it, yeah. Maybe it's,
I'm gonna tell you something really exciting now that you might be a little bit like dull about, but because Etym Online is such an awesome website, I decided to sponsor it on Patreon.
Cool.
Along with lots of other people, because I basically figured that without the outstanding work done by Etym Online, it would be so much more difficult for me to research and take part in a podcast like this.
Right.
It's one of these, like, I couldn't do it without you kind of sponsorship. So I don't, you know, I don't give them a ton of money, but I give them a little bit to sort of express my thanks and to support that. And
yeah,
because I'm a Patreon sponsor, I get sponsor content. And one of the articles recently, I can't remember exactly when, one of the articles recently was about exactly this situation that you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Where there's a common ancestor, but a divergence, and then a kind of a meeting again of those two words.
Yeah.
So
that's very cool.
If you sign up as a patron, then I'm sure you will also get access to this wonderful comment. I suppose it's the sort of thing that you can't just sort of pass on and share willy-nilly because because you're paying for it. But
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool that that's come up more than once.
That's neat. I should say, I misspoke earlier. I said juggler is the old word. Joke doesn't actually show up in English until sort of the mid to late 1600s.
Oh, okay.
And does come from jocular.
Interesting too that first there was the thing, then there was the name of the person who did the thing.
Yeah.
And then when it comes into English, it's the person who does the thing that is the word that comes first.
Yeah.
And then the thing much later.
And then the thing. Yeah, exactly. It's sort of a weird little switcheroo. Ultimately, pre-Latin, you get to a pi root that is just transliterated as Y-E-K, meaning to speak. Mm-hmm. And that gives us joke, jocular, and juggle slash juggler. It also gives the word jewel, mm-hmm. which is the supposed connection there is to the Latin jocus, meaning pastime or sport, and the general sense of something that brings joy.
Okay.
Because jewel didn't always mean specifically like a gemstone or a precious gem. It would mean any sort of fancy adornment.
Okay.
Of a thing. And also it gives us the word jeopardy.
Nice.
Which comes from the French, a French phrase.
What je is partie? Interesting etymology for yeah. 1500?
Hi-o.
You don't get 1500 questions in Jeopardy. What am I talking about? I panicked.
I panicked. So Jeopardy comes from the French jeu partie, or even game, to denote a situation where a player does have a real risk of losing. And so there's some risk involved there. So that's where Jeopardy comes from.
I don't know, though. I mean, Sean Connery and Alex Trebek, the playing field never ever felt level.
No. Trebek never had a chance. Until it was actually Trebek on. In which case, he was putting up with none of fake Connery's shit at all.
Dear listener, if you don't know what we're talking about, I beg of you, go and check out. It's like 90s Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
2000s?
Classic Will Ferrell
old,
era.
Isn't it?
It's got to be early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, go and look at Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek, the late great Alex Trebek. Those sketches are so brilliant.
Yeah, they're also good.
They're also like quite definitively things that I didn't know existed until I started watching films and stupid internet things with you and with Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. It's a whole new world of your mother jokes within the paradigm of a well-loved quiz show.
Absolutely.
It's What's so better good. Than that?
Nothing. So I gotta, at some point, well, by the time people listening to this, they'll know which way I landed, but know this, at the time of recording, I have no idea whether this episode is called Pants Juggler or Juggler Pants.
I like it. That's really cool. I like the fact that, I once sat outside in a sort of a one of these lovely open air cafes in, I want to say, Warsaw, somewhere in Poland. I think it was Warsaw, and we were sitting outside having a drink, and it was probably like April time. It wasn't super duper sunny, but it was nice enough to sit outside. And we were on a big, pretty European square. And while we were sitting there, you know, it's squares like that, they're the sort of place that attract jugglers and performers and, you know, people who do various street entertainment.
Right.
And this guy, for quite a long time, seemed to be setting something up. And we noticed this guy and we're like, oh, let's see what he's doing. What's he going to do? And when it got to, after all this to-ing and fro-ing and buckets and what's going on and setting up stuff, he had one of these devices that lets you create really, really big soap bubbles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know the sort of thing I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Really massive bubbles. And that was it. That was all this guy did. He blew bubbles. And every single person in that square stopped what they were doing and watched him blowing giant bubbles. Everyone was entranced. Like, it was like eye crack. And and I said to Ross, what's the deal with bubbles? Like, why are we as human beings? And it's like, if you know, you'll know this because you have the small children, but
yeah.
Enough soapy water and space to blow bubbles is guaranteed, you know, sort of large sections of delight for your kids. It just never gets old.
Oh, yeah.
Bubbles are the bomb. And
they are.
Yeah, this guy, he blew giant bubbles and eventually passed around a hat and he made a ton of money and that was it. And I was saying, you know, that is a zero talent enterprise. You don't have to, you know, blowing really big bubbles isn't a gift. It's something that you look up on the internet and figure out how to do. After a few times. But for some reason, this man was a street entertainment god. And I kind of feel like juggling has that same energy about it. Like,
yeah.
Really, what it is it's throwing things up in the air and catching them in a specified order. And
yeah,
that's not really all that interesting. But on the other hand, you watch somebody who's really, really good at juggling as though they're the centre of the universe. So I quite like this connection between jugglers and wizards, because even yeah. though it is a very, very everyday sort of magic, I think there is something kind of fundamentally magical about it. There's just something that we can't get enough of juggling, whether in pants or not.
I think there's also like a certain degree. This is a thought that's forming as I'm talking. So, I feel like the main trick with juggling is confidence.
Like, yeah.
Because you have to. It's not hard. Everyone can juggle most people can juggle two balls with two hands. You throw it up, you catch it. You throw it up, you mm-hmm. catch it. It's knowing that third ball, like the motion is exactly that. It's just the same motion.
Yep.
But you're doing it so that you have to catch up and maintain that rhythm. So it's like, it's when you start kind of worrying about it that it often will fall apart. And so maybe that's why jugglers, when they get good at it, are really good, because part of it is you have to exude the confidence for the spell to work. And that convinces everyone else, just sort of buys into that.
And that would perhaps explain why jugglers are so much more impressive than juggling is.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good way to put it.
I've just noticed a really, really wonderful pants adjacent word. Because okay. I clicked on panthermal to see what it meant
right.
as I was talking about it, it gave me a whole other world of adjacent definitions, and the word pantsula caught my attention.
Oh,
partly because it looks like a portmanteau of pants and tarantula.
That's what I was thinking. It's some sort of pants for tarantulas, spider
that's
pants.
That's something that we all want to know more about. You know,
yes.
Do eight-legged trousers exist?
Oh.
And if not, why not? But this has got such a great... This is a proper, I need to find out more about this word straight away, sort of entry.
Okay.
It's a borrowing from Isicamtho, which is interesting by itself. It's an African language.
Okay.
Isicamtho pantsula, from Zulu fansula, which is a verb that means to beat or to make a cracking sound as with a whip. But ooh. What a pantsula is it's a person, a young black person, usually a man, associated with the latest trends in street culture and a fashionable, expensive style of dress originally based on 1950s American gangsters. Also, the style or subculture of such young people associated especially with the 1980s and 1990s. So in South Africa, in the 80s and 90s, pantsulas were wandering about dressed like Elliot Ness.
Oh, that's awesome.
So awesome.
That's very cool. Pantsula. I mean, it's no spider pants, but it's pretty good.
And that's it for another episode of Lexitecture. To get in touch with us about something you heard in this episode, you can email us at words@lexitecture.com. You can also follow along and talk to us at Lexitecture on Facebook and Twitter, and at Lexitecture Podcast on Instagram. For back episodes and the occasional blog post, visit us at lexitecture.com. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.